You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church
in
Columbus, New Mexico.
Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy again, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today we're going to talk about maybe an uncomfortable subject, or maybe a heart-rending subject anyway, not necessarily an awkward conversation, but we're going to discuss the falling away, or the big fancy Bible term is apostasy, the falling away from the faith. We'll be reading in the first three verses of chapter 4. The Bible says this: "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." We'll pause reading right there, and I know John just prayed, but I need to pray again. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, God, and I pray that this short passage, just three verses, will really hit home with us today, God, and I pray that for myself, I don't allow my flesh to influence this message too much, but God, instead, that it is straight from the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, and I pray that we handle this well. I pray we handle this strongly. Lord, and I pray that we are very aware of our own selves when we consider apostasy and falling away. Lord, we're not too quick to look at somebody else and question them. Lord, we thank you for Jesus above all else and the hope that we have in him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in later times, people will fall away from the faith. Now, when Paul wrote this to Timothy 2,000 years ago, the term there for later times literally does include their own time. Any time after the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, after that event, we call it the church age. And many times the Bible will call it later times, or the end of time, not the very end of times, but they'll call all those these 2,000 years as a church age. And it can literally be at any point we believe that Jesus could return. So when Timothy receives this letter from Paul and it says, in later days people will fall away from the faith, what Paul is actually saying to Timothy, even as you receive this letter, even as we speak, people will fall away from the faith. It happened 2,000 years ago and it happens today. Now, I don't necessarily want to equate falling away from the faith with falling away from church, but many times they do go hand in hand. Okay, that's just the truth. Rarely, if ever, does anybody abandon the local church completely and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Hardly ever, if ever. What does the Bible say about the church? Jesus said, "I will build this church." Paul in Ephesians 5 says that Jesus loves the church. How much does Jesus love the church? So much so that he gave his life for her. That's why marriage is such a beautiful picture. It really does picture Jesus and the bride of Christ, or the church. That's us. How is a husband supposed to love his wife? You are supposed to be willing to die for your wife. That's how much Jesus loves the church. Paul says, hey, some folks are going to fall away in later times. Have we experienced in America? Now, I know Christianity is a global thing. There's believers everywhere. But my perspective is that as that of an American. Have we fallen away from the faith in the United States of America? Not just church attendance, but the faith. You know, here's the best news that I've heard on this subject. Are y'all ready for the best news that I've heard on this subject? Three quarters of the kids that were in our church today, 75% of them will not be faithful church attenders when they're my age. That's the best statistic I've heard. The highest percentage that I've heard is 25% of them will still be faithful church attenders when they're adults. Most of them are more like 15% will still be there. What is the difference? We can have programs all day long. We can have something for them at all times, several days, several nights of the week, all the time. And you know what? Churches have done that for years, and they're still going missing. Where are they at? Can I tell you the best chance a kid has to remain faithful to the Lord is through the teachings of their family. That's been true forever. God created and ordained the family before He created and ordained the church. Now again, I have a very high view, and I think church is of supreme importance in many ways. But if you want the statistics, the homes that have an active and faithful and serving father and mother are the homes where you have the greatest chance of that kid remaining faithful into adulthood. So it's not fancy programs. I've been in it long enough. I was a youth minister full-time for 10 years and was involved in youth things for years before that as a teenager and as a college student. I've been around small groups. I've been around big groups. The groups that had all the bells and whistles and all of that, you know what? Their percentage isn't any different than the little rural country church. It's not in those things. Is have we made an impact? Is the Lord real in their life? How does the Lord become real in their life? It is our job as parents, as grandparents, as church family, to teach them the love of the Lord. That's on us. And you know what it takes? It takes sacrifice, and it takes us making those things a priority in our home. What do we tell our kids passively if we're willing to spend more time and money on something else than on the things of the Lord? What we're telling them passively is those things are more important than the Lord. You don't have to like it one bit. I believe that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Where our heart is, there our treasure will be also. That's Jesus Himself. You know what I love about the Bible? I can teach out of the Bible, and y'all can't get mad at me. You can get mad at the Lord, though. Good luck with this. This is where it is, right here. In later times, Paul says, even right now, people are falling away from the faith. Why? Some will depart the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Several years ago, I think Bonnie was a little baby. Kara and Bonnie had already gone to sleep, and I'm a night owl. I was more so of a night owl a few years ago than I am now, even. And I was going to be up for a couple more hours at least, so I was just mindlessly scrolling through the guide on the TV, and something caught my eye that was going to start in the next 5 or 6 minutes. I had never seen the movie The Exorcist. Let me tell you this right now. I'm going to spoil the story here. I have still yet to see the movie The Exorcist, okay? Now, but in my mind that night, I don't know if it was in a moment of weakness or what it was, but I was sitting there, you know, I'm going to make a cup of coffee. I'm going to watch this movie that I've heard so much about. And I, in my mind, I'm going to refute some of the incorrect theology and how they distort and twist the scripture in this movie. So I sit down with my cup of coffee, and the movie's just about to start. And I don't remember if it was opening credits or music or what, how it starts, but I got 3 seconds in and I said, nope. Now, I'm not watching this, not because I'm spiritual, but because I'm a chicken and I don't like scary movies. Okay? Now, can I be the old codger for a minute, the old curmudgeon for a second? Okay, at 35 years old, can I do that? There is literally a darkness that is tied with some of those movies. What does the Bible say? These people will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Remember Jesus when he healed the maniac of Gadara in the Gospels? Remember the maniac of Gadara? Everybody in town knew that that guy was demon-possessed because he was nuts. He was running through the tombs, cutting himself and screaming. There was no doubt in everybody's mind there in that area that this guy is demon-possessed. Well, you and I wouldn't have gone in those tombs after dark for anything. For any amount of money in the world, we wouldn't have gone because that guy was in there. And he's demon-possessed. We're not going in there. But when people leave the faith of Jesus Christ, when they walk away from it, when they become apostate, what happens is, it's not this maniac of Gadara situation. What does it say? It's deceitful. And it's sneaky. Why do they leave? Are they drawn to the things of the earth, that are of the world, that are so gross and sick and full of sin? No, they're drawn away by things that sound pretty good. Now, this is okay. I can have this and that at the same time and be okay? It's deceitful. What is the devil? It says he prowls around. If the devil appeared to you as he is physically, the Bible describes him as an attractive or a beautiful creature. And keep in mind, he is a creature, which means he was created. He is not on the level that God himself is. So today, even though it might be a tough subject when we talk about demons and all of those things, they are very real. But they have absolutely zero power over the Lord. What did the Lord say to the people that were demon-possessed? Hey, you got to get up and get out of here. And guess what they did? They got up and got out of there. They have to obey. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, as a believer, he does live inside of you. But as a believer with the Lord inside of you, I have a hard time believing that the Holy Spirit would be roommates with the devil. As a believer, I don't think you have to worry about possession. Okay? I don't think you have to worry about anything of that nature. But can you be deceived? Absolutely. We know people are deceived. We know people personally that we've seen, and they were so faithful, and they were so strong in the Lord for such a time, and then they're gone. What happened? They don't curse God. They don't wave their finger at God and say, God, how dare you? They just, over time, allowed God to take a back seat in their life. I can have all the things of the world and him simultaneously. False. To be in love with the world is enmity with God. That's straight out of the Bible. To love the world is to be at enmity with God. You can't have it both ways. So for too long, and I'm not just picking on younger folks and folks like myself who have worked with younger folks. I'm talking about everything. Too often we make it a thing, well, this is going to be fun. You should come to this event. And we forget to really pump into them the truth of the Word of God. Now, thankfully, I think at Highland we do teach the Word of God. And at South Jefferson and Mount Pleasant, where I grew up, we teach and have taught the Word of God to the kids. But sometimes we really dumb things down for them. If a kid can go to school and take calculus class, they can understand the basic truths of God. Let's treat them with a little respect and dignity and challenge them with this. Let's challenge them with the Bible. There are some hard truths in there. There's some in this passage that we're reading right now that maybe you don't like too much. I don't like them necessarily. But people have left the faith because they've been deceived. Listen to what the rest of the passage says here. Verse 2, through the insincerity of liars whose consciousness are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 2, are there false teachers within the Christian church? Are there men and women who proclaim to speak in the name of God that have nothing but selfishness and self-preservation and self-gain in mind when they get up and teach and preach. There are so many, to be honest, that do not care anything about you. And they don't care anything about the people in their flock. They mean nothing to them. They literally see many of them dollar signs. Do you know how easy it is to twist Scripture? Do you know how easy it is to take these things out of context? And you can lead a group of people astray. Now, hopefully, Highland Baptist Church, there's enough of you that know enough of the Bible that that wouldn't be able to happen here. But it happens all the time. Did you know that the Bible says that Judas hanged himself and go and do thou likewise? I just twisted it. The Bible says both of those things, but not together, not in the same context. The Bible would never advocate anybody taking their own life. But see how easy it is? I could have said that in front of a certain group of people somewhere in this world, and they would have believed everything that I said. That's why it's so important for you to have one of these in your own home. That's why it's so important for you to make this a discipline in your life to read this, to know. I want you to check on me and say, is Kevin actually teaching from the Word of God? To this point, I hope that I have, and I also pray that I don't fall off into that other garbage that we're talking about. I don't ever want to be guilty of doing this for self-gain or self-preservation or selfish reasons. I want to preach the Word of God because God has called me to preach the Word of God. I want to tell you what the truth is. Many people will leave the faith, or they'll leave the actual church of God, I'll say, to go to a place where their ears get tickled. And they get told what they want to hear. I like to give you good news. I like fun and lighthearted topics. I like to kid around and joke around and talk about those type of things. And those are fine when the time's right. There are some kind of comical things that happen in the Bible. And there is certainly a lot of good news in the Bible. Okay, but the Bible also, if you've been a Christian very long and the Word of God has never hurt your feelings, you're not reading the whole thing. So how do you respond to that? Do we pick and choose what we want to believe, or do we say, you know what, you're the Lord, you're the boss, I'll change to bend to your will. I'll do what it is you want me to do because you are the Lord. When you call Him Lord, that's what you're saying, you're boss man. You tell me what to do. I've given up my right to direct my own life. They've been deceived by these spirits of demons. How about verse 3? Listen to this. This is fun. They forbid marriage. Now, certainly, there's no large group in the world that names the name of Jesus that forbids marriage. Actually, there is. And I'm not going to name names. But here's what happens. Even people that don't completely abandon the name of Jesus, that don't abandon God Himself, a lot of times what they're led into when they've left the actual biblical teachings, they fall into one of two traps. They either fall into licentiousness or they fall into legalism. Here, Paul addresses legalism. Legalism is when we add human rules and attribute them to God, when God actually never said these things. What does Paul say about marriage in 1 Corinthians 7? He says, in many ways, it would be easier if you weren't married. Because think about Paul's personal self. He was a missionary all over the world. And he says, it would be difficult for me to have a wife and kids and travel the way that I do. But then he says, if you burn with passion, get married. He doesn't forbid marriage. How about this abstinence from foods? The church, in the Colossian church, they were involved heavily in this asceticism that we call it. That's a big fancy term. And it means that they would deprive themselves of things in order to make themselves more holy and more like God. Well, God never told them to do that. They would beat themselves. They may cut themselves. There's a group in the Philippines that every Easter, they basically crucify themselves, thinking it would make them more like Jesus. That's legalism. I am very familiar and prone to, if I had to go one way or the other on this issue, I would go more towards legalism. Strict, rigid. Think about the Pharisees. Making up laws. There are 643 Old Testament laws, but they made up more because that just wasn't enough for them. Made up some silly ones. Couldn't believe that Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath because that was work. Paul's addressing legalism. But a lot of times when people abandon the true faith in Jesus Christ, where they abandon God, biblical Christianity, what they fall into also is licentiousness, which is a King James word. Just think about it like this. Licentiousness means you have a license to do anything you want to do. Also false. Is there freedom in Jesus? Absolutely. But there's freedom in Jesus to make the right choices. There are things, and we talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago, there are things in the Bible that are regarded as permissible. But you have to ask yourself the question as a Christian, are they beneficial? Do they help you or anybody around you? Paul said, it's okay for me to eat meat sacrificed to idols, but if it hurts somebody else, I won't do it ever again. That's the mindset that we ought to have. If it could hurt somebody else, if it could compromise somebody else's faith, a weaker brother or sister in the Lord, then I won't ever eat meat again, Paul said. He said, it's not worth it. Just because I enjoy it doesn't make it right, doesn't make it okay for me to sear their conscience, for them to question the Lord because of my actions. You know, licentiousness, I even pointed earlier when I said it, licentiousness and legalism. Did you know they're not really polar opposites? They're actually two sides of the same coin because they both ignore inner righteousness. They both ignore a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You can say, hey, you can do whatever you want, right? No, don't do anything at all. It's fun. Well, where's the Lord in either one of those things? It's all about what's in here. That's what matters. That's why Jesus told them, hey, you guys wash the outside of the cup just great. What about the inside? Hey, you guys are whitewashed tombs, but you're full of dead man's bones, is what he says. People will fall away. You know what? I got notes. I didn't even looked at them once. And that's fine. The Bible talks about in other places about the apostasy that has come and is to come. The Bible says that before the Antichrist is revealed, there will be a falling away. The Bible also says, let me see, I don't want to miss it right here, that there will be wolves. Paul said, listen to this, Paul said this in Acts chapter 20 to the Ephesian elders. Why does that matter this morning? What church is Timothy in? The Ephesian church. To the same congregation, Paul told them in Acts chapter 20, there will be wolves that come in, and they will be men from inside your congregation. So you think Timothy was putting two and two together when he received this letter from Paul? He says, I see it. I get it. I understand it. So what are we to do? We know the apostasy has happened. We know that it's real. We've seen it with our own eyes that people have fallen away from the faith and given up on God, given up on the local church, given up on so many things that are biblically based. We see it. People are commanded in some areas to be celibate. Again, don't misconstrue what the Bible's saying. It's okay to be single. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul's issue is when you make somebody be single or make somebody be married. So we see that. There is a forbidding of eating certain foods. We see licentiousness in some areas. We see legalism in some areas. So is our response as Christians to have panic in the streets? No. Why? Because we're part of the church of the living God. Who will stand against God when the end comes? Nobody. Jesus said not even the gates of hell will stand against the church of God. The Bible says that the Lord knows who are His and He takes care of His own. That's in 2 Timothy. So there is absolutely zero reason for us to panic. So this morning, don't interpret anything that I'm saying as panic. Just interpret it as the truth, and this is our current situation. We're going to be just fine. So here's what you do as an individual. I wrote down three things. One, take heed of yourself and your family. It's real easy when we talk about apostasy. It's real easy to say, hey, look at them over there and their apostasy. Look at that, those clowns down the road. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they believe. You know what they're doing this morning? They're pointing at Highland Baptist and saying, look at those bozos right there. Look at the things that they hold dear. So what I'm saying is, take heed of yourself. Have you been deceived into these doctrines of demons? I mean, that's strong language. Have you been pulled away from true biblical Christianity? Here in a few minutes, we'll take the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that, Paul says, same guy, it's almost like God put all these things together, right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before you take the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. So that's what I'm asking you to do today when we consider the falling away or apostasy. Examine yourself, not your neighbor. What about you? Do you feel like there are some things that are open to some interpretation in the Bible and you kind of want to do your own thing because you like it? Or are you sticking to what the Lord said verbatim? Take heed of yourself and your family. Secondly, be watchful. These things aren't going away. They've been for 2,000 years and they'll continue to be so. Be watchful. There will be wolves that come from inside of Christianity. That's what the Bible says. Be a sheepdog. Be watchful for those. And thirdly, look to the Lord and His Word. There can be so many things. It can be so overwhelming to say, well, what then do I do if it's so precarious that at any moment I may step off the path and fall into a pit of apostasy? What then do I do? Look, it's simple. Here it is. If you don't have one of these, there's a hardback blue one somewhere close, take it home with you. We want you to have it. Here is what we believe to be God's Word. He doesn't believe or say anything that contradicts what's already written down right here. Look to Him and His Word. And if you can say, you know what, I fall well in line with what the Bible teaches, then that's good. You can continue on being diligent and doing those things. But this morning, I think the most important thing in lieu of this scripture, but also with the Lord's Supper, I want you to examine yourself. Last week I told you that if you have an issue with another brother or sister or family member or co-worker, that you should rectify that situation. You should go to them before you take part in the Lord's Supper. I want you to be comfortable enough this morning that you would take this ordinance as a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus as if He was sitting in the front row right here looking right at you. Paul says this is a very serious thing. And let me say this to you. If it's not serious to you this morning, abstain from participating. Nobody, the deacons will pass it out in a few minutes. Not one of them will look and make a tally of who did and who did not participate. That's not their job. That's not their role. They're simply passing it out. They're merely being servants this morning. I'm not standing here looking and seeing who is and who's not participating. You will show so much more spiritual maturity if you decide that you can't take part today. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11? He says, there are some that have taken this in an unworthy manner that have died or are now sick among you. Now, I've never been part of a Lord's Supper service where somebody dropped dead right there at the time. Okay? I don't want to be either. So examine yourself beforehand. But can you say, I'm comfortable today with my relationship with God and man to take part in this ordinance? Can you look the Lord Jesus in the eye and say, there is no unconfessed sin in my life right now. I feel comfortable doing this. If you can't say that, I'm going to give you a few minutes to clear that up. To have that conversation with the Lord. We don't believe that you need to confess all your sins to some priest. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, which means you have full access to God yourself. You can have that conversation in the next few minutes. You can start that conversation now while I'm still yapping. But you need to be able to say, God, you and I, we're good. There is nothing between you and I right now. I can participate in this ordinance. If there's any bitterness, if there's any confusion even right now, I would say, abstain. That's fine. This isn't a ticket into heaven or a ticket out of heaven. That's only your relationship. That's only the grace by faith in Jesus Christ. But I want a lot of things for this church, and one of the things I want us to take these types of things seriously. I want us to take our relationship with the Lord seriously. So this morning, let's stand together. And I'm going to, this is will be, I guess you consider an invitation time. Would John come on up and lead us? Let's stand and let's pray. Now's the time to examine yourself before we participate in the Lord's Supper. Be completely honest with yourself and completely honest with the Lord, because He already knows your heart. He already knows what's going on in your mind. And if you're unable today or incapable because of your life, that's okay. That's between you and Him and not you and Highland Baptist Church. Certainly not you and myself personally. As John leads us, let's pray. Let's examine ourselves. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. God, I want to thank you for your word, even though many times it cuts me right to my bones. God, I pray that I would ever be diligent, Lord, to be watchful and to look to you and to your word, God, that I never fall into this apostasy, this falling away, this abandonment of the faith of true biblical Christianity and what it means, that I'll never fall into the traps of licentiousness or legalism. But God, today I pray for myself. Lord, if there is any unconfessed sin in my heart, I pray you would reveal that to me, that you would illuminate that to me so I can confess it to you before we take part in the Lord's Supper. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters here this morning as we are about to engage in this remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus 2,000 years ago. I pray that you would guide them in the same way. And if they can't do it in the correct manner today, then I pray they would have the honesty and the maturity in themselves to abstain. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. We're never deserving of the sacrifice of Jesus, but we want to be in right relationship with you this morning as we do these things.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.